What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, area code 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Dan in Washington. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Well, I had two topics, immigration and America being a one-party system. But
yes,
just real quick on immigration, you know, people talk about eugenics, and it's become an anti-white propaganda piece to always go back about Margaret Sanger, because if you look at the 1965 Immigration Act, it was deliberately designed to make white Americans a minority. And white Americans never voted for that and
no.
were against it. So you had some people like David Duke and, you know, others who were raising concern, and they were demonized, politically oppressed. And David Duke even got falsely thrown in jail. And
yes.
Pat Buchanan, you know, in the show before yours, you had Joe Arpaio in Arizona. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they brought up fake charges on him and threw him in jail, so, or tried to. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it does meet the definition of genocide. You know, people say, well, that's overblowing it, because they think genocide is just, you know, shooting people in the head and stuff. But, you know, if you're creating circumstances where one group is encouraged not to have kids, you know, and opening the borders so another group replaces them, that does meet
yes.
the UN definition of genocide. So
it's a style genocide.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, callers call in and say, well, I'm not racist, I don't care if whites... I think there's something wrong if people don't care if their own people get wiped out, just on a human level. That's not natural to not care. But that doesn't mean, you know, I don't go around hating other groups. You know, there's plenty of, you know, if there's a little bit of mixing or whatever, you know, it's not a huge concern, but the big issues are what they are. So, you know, that's kind of my thing is, if someone's not on your side on that, it's like, and Americans never wanted that. So if we can't even change that as Americans, then what are we going to do about saving gun rights or free speech or any of this crap? I mean, we have not even been able to do that for 40 years, really, in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So... if you know, it's very disappointing. You know,
it is very disappointing. It is very frustrating. It's heartbreaking.
Yep.
And you know, again, I know that the phone calls about violent revolution have toned down since January 6th, but it's still definitely out there, and we're seeing articles about, you know, we've reached the point where it's time for mass civil disobedience, with the election system broken and totally fraudulent. What other means do we have to bring about change in this country? As John F. Kennedy used to say, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. And I'm afraid we're about
Great.
To prove Kennedy right.
Yeah, that brings me to my second point. Like, Peter made some great points about who really controls the system. So,
yes,
you know, if you look at the Soviet Union, they did throw off the yoke of... they were mostly Jewish Bolsheviks, but they were, you know, they started the Bolshevik Revolution, all the head commissars, the head proletariat. And eventually the Russian people, they still had a lot of Jews in power, but they took back control on a racial tribal level kind of by the 1960s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they did that with a one-party state. And I think America, it would be better just having one party at this point, because...
I disagree
either
wholeheartedly.
One party,
sorry.
Right.
I'd rather have five parties, 10 parties.
Yeah, yeah. That would be better, too. But the two-party system, the way I see it, it's like the worst, because they can just divide and conquer, you know, and that's all I've seen, you know, for decades. So that's... I would like to see one party just totally take. And I've tried to work with the Republicans. You had the Reform Party, Libertarian Party, that went nowhere. All these movements have failed. The conservative movement failed to conserve anything except
yes.
Reagan's tax cuts and free trade and all that stuff. So I just, I guess it's something to think about. I guess it, you know, either have a bunch of parties or one party, but I'd like to see this two-party thing go away. Just got to be go away.
But I would absolutely be opposed to a single-party country because all it does is preserve the status quo. And we can learn a lesson from the Soviet Union, which in the supposed quest to produce a classless society actually generated the most powerful ruling class in history.
That's true. But the one good lesson of that is they did throw off the yoke of those original psychotic Bolshevik killers, you know, eventually. Yes. So,
well, eventually anyway, most that's of them died.
Yeah, that's true, too. Natural causes. But, all right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks an awful lot. You know, when you're young, you can say, well, just, you know, wait till these, you know, old bastards in power die off and then we'll be okay. But when you're my age, you know, you really don't have that luxury anymore. All right. We're going to go to Mark in North Carolina. Mark, be gentle. What is on your mind today?
Yeah, Mike, I didn't want to talk about this, but this guy, every time he calls, he gets me stirred up. Okay. The fact of the matter is eugenics is evil. There's no other word for it. Pat Buchanan, Sheriff Arpaio, and even David Duke are not eugenists. They're against abortion. They're for life, okay?
Yes.
Eugenics is evil. Margaret Sanger was an evil witch.
I think you misheard him. Because he was saying that people like David Duke and Pat Buchanan and Sheriff Arpaio were against the open borders immigration policy.
Okay, I thought he was trying, but, you know, he just mentioned their names, and, you know, they were against open immigration. Anybody with any common sense would be against open immigration policies because the country can only afford to have so many people in it of any color.
That's true.
Okay? No, there's no question about it. I'm also against the robotizing of our country, too. Anything that hurts the working man, I'm against. But I just wanted to
I'm in agreement with you on that. I mean, you know, I think computers are cool and computers are fun and robots are fascinating to play with. But we do need to preserve jobs for the working man and woman to be able to afford to put a roof over their head and food on the table for their children. And, you know, if this automation thing gets completely out of hand, we're looking at a future of shopping malls staffed by robot sales staff standing around with absolutely nothing to do because no customers are coming through the door because they're all out of work.
Yeah, to me, automation is as much a danger, if not more of a danger, than unrestricted immigration. They're both bad. They're both an attack on the working people of this country, and they're both an attack on the United States of America and our Constitution, which is so important to me. Way more important than the color of the people, let's say in 50 or 100 years from now, which would probably be some light shade of brown or something like that, you know, because that's the way that's what happens when you have a lot of immigration from different parts of the world. In some ways, it's not good. And in some ways, it's good because in some ways, mixing you're getting rid of a lot of the bad genes. That actually is a form of, I shouldn't even mention that, but actually it's true. When you mix, I'm big into dogs, okay? I'm breeding dogs and all that. And you breed it's known that a dog that's not full bred is usually healthier than a dog that's selective breeding or inbreeding or whatever else. And inbreeding is terrible for any race of people and for any country. But anyway, I just want to go to something you mentioned before about, you know, Biden and, taking his finger off that trigger. I saw recently, I hate to admit I got primed, but I got to have something to watch tomorrow. I was set it in Netflix, okay? And I was watching an old movie. You probably know about Dr. Strangelove. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that so true? I mean, he was a general who was out of his mind, who did start World War III at the end, okay? Because that one B-52 got through. That's day today, though. The general, what was his name again? R.T. Ripper.
Jack D.
No,
Ripper.
Jack D. Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Jack D. Yep.
Today's Jack the Rippers are mostly politicians, and starting with an idiot like Biden, who's not even, you know, who's not all there anymore, who's basically, in many ways, doesn't even know what planet he's on. This is so dangerous, like, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know what's more dangerous, to have that clown in charge or to have computers in charge, like in a Terminator, and you know what happened there, you know? I mean, you know, it's fiction, but it could happen. I mean, geez, this is, you know, that's a scary thought, because it wouldn't take much. You got to realize, I know if I was Vladimir Putin today, I would be on a hair trigger right now, watching what's going on in the United States, and knowing this is a country with thousands of nuclear weapons and the means of delivery, as Russia has the same thing. But I would be very concerned, knowing that you got this metal case in charge today, you know, somebody like Biden. I mean, a lot of people say, well, Russia was actually behind the phony election this time on Biden's side. I don't believe that. I think Putin's a smart man. He understands how dangerous. I don't know about the Chinese now, because they pretty much own Biden. But as far as Russia goes, Putin's a very smart man, very intelligent, very steeped in history. And I think he understands very well to have a country as powerful as the United States that's now unstable, to say the least. And just as if Russia was in that condition right now, I think we'd be very concerned. There's very much to be concerned about. This man is dangerous. The people under him are dangerous. And it looks like he's getting a bunch of, it looks like he's picking up, you talk about nursing homes, it looks like this is what he's getting his people out of, the nursing homes. Like I see this attorney general there, Garland.
Yes.
He looks like he was also an escapee from a nursing home. So I know, you know, I shouldn't make talk like, you know, I understand that people, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but you don't want them running the country. This is what you've got. You've got boomers and pre-boomers that are now, I guess you could say it's their last stand, and they wanted it. And it's not even the good boomers.
Thank you.
It's not the boomers who actually went into the military and stuff like that. These are the boomers who are out in the street yelling and screaming and hating America and refusing to go into the military and this and that, calling baby killers and all that. And yet they're the ones now running the country and pushing the war machine, which is crazy, right? I mean, that's all I got to say, Mike. I know you got other people out there, okay, waiting. So, you know, we're in trouble. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah, there's no question we're in trouble. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I think you know what's on my mind, Mike, and this is the last call in the world that I wanted to make. But my first question to you is, when Nathan first called in, the very first time that he said he wanted me and a number of other people dead because we were Trump bashers, do you have any examples? Do you recall me as having been a Trump basher?
I honestly cannot remember that far back, but if you'll look at yesterday's show, Nathan actually called on in and he did apologize for those comments he made.
Don't deviate from my question. If somebody was a severe Trump basher, it should register on your mind. Do you recall me as being a Trump basher?
There were so many of them. No, I can't recall. I honestly cannot recall.
That's all I needed to hear. Because I can tell you that for 6 years from the time that Trump declared himself a candidate, I lost a lot of friends arguing with them, saying that Trump was the best option. And I waited moment by moment during the campaign, during the election, and subsequent to his being elected, I was hoping and praying that he would be what I said he would be, the man who would fix the problems. Not simply the lesser evil because of Hillary Clinton, but that he would be the man who would fix many problems. Instead, I only lost faith in Trump in the way he handled events after the election that Biden's people took. But I don't, I'll give you an example. When I was an anchor, a TV news anchor, one of the first questions I would ask of anybody who made a claim as outrageous as so-and-so is a basher, I would say, what evidence do you give us an example? I'm wondering why you never asked Nathan, how has Layla and all the other people that you named, how have they actually bashed Trump? Bash is a very strong word. It actually even implies using an instrument to bash someone on the head or on anywhere on the body.
Well, it's never a metaphor. Never mind
a verbal assault. Did you ever think to ask him what did he mean by Trump basher and what proof did he have for making that claim? Because Israelis always make a statement, no one denies it or questions it, and then it becomes fact. I have
questions. As I stated before, I absolutely do not recall those conversations from that long ago. You know, I do this show every single day. I'll deal with all the callers.
Mike, one of the most important things of a show host is to have a good memory and to know which caller is actually being a problem and is actually detracting from the credibility of yourself and the institution you represent. One thing that I would always do when I was interviewing somebody is look up their history if I didn't already know it personally, watch if they had an handler who was indoctrinating them with their talking points to prevent me from getting the questions answered that I would ask. And then I would ask them for proof, and I would not let up unless I had proof that what they said was true. I never was.
Well, that's a luxury. That's a luxury you had on TV. That's a luxury
no,
you had
I
on
had
TV.
You allowed someone to terrify me of the possibility who could be an Israeli who is targeting me. Do you think I haven't lived with that all my life? Especially, why do you think I'm going out of the public eye?
Layla, when people call into your show Layla, are you going to let me talk? Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
When people call into this show, I don't have the luxury of being able to look into their background because all I get is a first name and a general location where they are. I certainly do not have the staff to look to see, you know, if they have a handler. How would I know? Because they're on the other end of a very, very long phone line. Before I let you go, I got a question.
Do not let me go, Mike, until I've asked you one more question. First of all, as soon as you hear their voice, you know who they are. And you allowed him to once again repeat his ha-ha.
Okay, ask your question. We're almost out of time.
Let me
ask your question.
Why did you remind him that I had gone crazy on Friday? You said to him, if you wanted to see Layla bouncing off the walls, you should have listened on Friday. On Friday, I got the news that a refugee child...
Well, because you did bounce off the walls on Friday, you were very worried about
you. Let me finish. Mike.
You're doing a close second today.
Mike, you ridiculed me. I had information that a six-year-old refugee that I had been supporting had died. And he died from injuries that were caused by American bombs. While Americans in Texas that I feel sorry for were experiencing shortages, they never had bombs dropping on them at the same time. So I was very distressed.
Layla,
by the death of this child.
Layla,
but
I understand
you're
distressed.
The one who
I can hear. I could,
Mike,
they, Layla,
you're the one.
Layla,
Mike,
Layla,
you're the one
I have
who
a question for you.
And
I have a question for you.
With you.
I have
Go
a
ahead.
Question for you. Somebody called in yesterday and they wanted a clarification on the correct way to pronounce your name because so many people have said it so many different ways. How do you pronounce your name?
That's a nice distraction. It doesn't really matter how I pronounce my name. That was a sweet lady.
All right.
Called.
Well, then, thank you for the phone call. We've got to take a commercial break and we'll be right back.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones. John in Utah. Hello, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Rivero, can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine. You're on the air.
Great. Hey, I actually just came across you last night.
Really?
I saw this. Yes, a YouTube video entitled... Mm-hmm. 43 minutes and 33 seconds entitled, loading, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars.
Yes.
And I was very, very impressed by how much you covered in that 43 minutes. So I had to figure out who you were and found you had a radio show and had to tune in today. Listened to a bit of it even last night on the podcast app. Would you happen to know where that rant, if you will, originated from? By just saying a video of entitled of you speaking, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars?
Well, it began with an article. It began with an article that was written for the website whatreallyhappened.com, and in fact, it is permanently linked At the top of the main page, there's a little gray box with the permanent articles, and one of them is All Wars Are Banker Wars, and there's actually a lot more information in there than was aired on the radio broadcast, which was what was taken to make the soundtrack for that video.
Okay, yes, that's awesome. That's something I definitely want to check out. Boy, Layla was a bit impassioned. I actually caught I caught the caller portion of your show recorded from the day before on the podcast app last night, and heard that other gentleman call in and speak a bit about that and with his sincere apology. But
well, you know, Layla's knowledge of history and religion is encyclopedic. When she's talking about what she wants to talk about, you know, she's very good. But when she gets into an adversarial situation, she doesn't handle it graciously, to be gentle.
Well, I'm sure she's a lovely woman, but as far as her encyclopedic knowledge, is she then another voice out there with a show or books or a blog or something? Or is she just a caller of the show? Is that how your
audience... As far as I know, she's a caller of many shows, of which mine is one. And, you know, maybe she should write a book. That's actually a very, very good idea. Because I've learned a lot from her that I had not encountered before. And I think a book would be a really, really good idea.
Hey, is there any other shows off the top of your head that you would recommend?
Well, there's, John Stadmiller's show, which follows mine. That's a good one to listen to. For personal reasons, I don't recommend radio shows that are not part of the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Right. And, I was so very impressed with your talk on All Wars Are Banker's Wars. I've never heard someone encapsulate so much information in such a narrow amount of time, and I look forward to...
Well, you really should read the article, because there's a lot more in there. The article's, in my opinion, the article is definitely better.
Yes, I will after this phone call. One other thing, from the outset of Trump's presidency on November 2016, when he was elected, I never could see people's support for President Trump. It always makes me scratch my head.
Okay.
How he speaks and conducts himself, you know, always. I will never assume that that's a man of character or a man that's going to be fighting for our interests. As a man who's always been a part of that elite system and benefited from it, I would never be able to believe that he one day woke up and decided he was going to, you know, fight for America. It's always a head scratcher for me.
To be brutally honest, in 2016, it was less that people supported Trump and more that they did not want Hillary Clinton in that White House. And that's what produced the landslide that even election fraud could not overcome in 2016.
Well, absolutely. But then perhaps a bit conspiratorially or, you know, a bit of a skeptic, I wouldn't think that anyone would ever reach the White House unless they were foreordained to do so. And, I mean, I understand...
Well, I think that's why they were opposed to Trump, is because he pulled it off. He was an outsider. He wasn't part of the club. He wasn't part of the war machine. And if you look at how official Washington and the media treated him during his entire term in office, it's very obvious that in their opinion, he wasn't supposed to be there, that he had somehow usurped Hillary's position in the Oval Office. Anyway, John, we got to take a commercial break. I'm going to let you go here. Thank you for the phone call. I'm glad you like Banker Wars, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Working two jobs, ends never seem to meet. She often goes hungry, so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her.
Welcome back to our show now. We're going to go back to the phones to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, Michael. Very good day to you, Michael. And wow, that's a tough one to follow. And our last caller, Mike, let me ask you, and by the way, Dan made a good call. Very good call by Dan. What I want to talk about is the last caller. Mike, do you listen to RBN? Do you listen to RBN, Mike?
On occasion. Well, Mike, you know, I really don't have a lot of time to...
I heard a puke. I heard a puke call your show yesterday about me. But before I'm the one that brings out information about immigration and other subjects. I want an apology from that woman too, that Eric Clapton wrote a song about. Okay, I want an apology from her. But before I go on her, Mike, I'm going to go to this. You know what do you call a dog that has puppies, Mike? What do you call her? What do you call a dog that has puppies? Well, this
mothers.
Is that guy in North Carolina named Bob. Okay? Who's this guy, Bob, this puke thing he is? Bob's going attacking me,
Tom,
because I bring up information.
Mike,
give me a chance to defend myself.
Tamp it down. Okay.
All right, I'll tame it down. I'll tame it down, Mike. This guy here calls your show at the last minute. This guy's talking crap about you, talking crap about me, because I talk about he's a bumbling. This guy's a buffoon. Bob the buffoon. And he's what I told you about, a dog that's had puppies. That's what he is. Now, Mike, I want to go back to Layla. Let Layla know something. Layla, you called me out the other day.
Bad move. Mike.
Well, I don't care, Mike. She's calling out white men, saying all about they can go home. She's throwing out the white men. I'm a white man, very proud of my race. I'm a strong man. I used to bench 330 pounds on a bench. Can you do that, Mike? There's millions of other white men can do that. So we're not a bunch of 55 freaks like she's trying to make us sound. And by the way, Layla, you said I called the show all the time talking about that. I only talked about that twice on Mike's show. So I want an apology for that. She's always peeling out all these people deserve. She deserves an apology. I want an apology for how she's talking about one group of people and talking about me. So I want an apology. Now, going back to this guy from North Carolina, and the other guy is calling three of your great callers. I can name their names, Dan, Miles, and Tom, as clowns, and he'll take us all on the radio at once. I'll take any one of those guys from North Carolina on. You want to put me on the flying with Doug? And we'll get Dan, Miles, and
No, we're not
Miles
doing that anymore. We're not doing that anymore.
I mean, this is getting ridiculous, Mike. This is getting ridiculous, these calls. I try to bring out information.
Yeah,
Mike, you have the great show.
Contributing to the circus. You know, you're out there in the center ring, you know, with the juggling balls.
Mike, listen, I know I'm a little excited. RBN, I listen to your show and a few other shows. You have a great show, Mike. These guys are calling.
Thank you.
Listen, if you want to ban me from never talking about immigration again, never end a reward, I will not talk about immigration. I'll talk about let's talk about Mars, Mike. Why don't we talk about Tiger Woods' injury? Tiger Woods, was he not on drugs? Was it an accident? I mean, you know, these people are ridiculous, Mike. And you say you get emails about me talking about immigration. Well, let me ask you, what did that guy Bob ever said on your show? I never heard that guy before, Mike. What has he ever said and brought up to your show, quality information in your show? What has he told any of your listening audience about immigration? I don't hear this puke saying anything, except he's trying to throw me out, call me a bumbling. Well, if I'm a bumbler, he's a buffoonery. That's what he is, a buffoon.
Okay.
I don't need to be called out because I bring out immigration, Mike.
Tom.
Fine.
Okay. It is, you know, we're getting, you know, comments. People are tired of the bitching between the callers.
Thank you.
And
so am I, Mike.
Yeah.
So am I.
Okay,
I call your show to try to get new information, Mike.
Set the example.
Okay, listen. I talk about what's going on in the inner cities, what the murder rate. That shouldn't be happening. We have 25,000 troops in Washington, D.C., but we don't have no troops in Chicago, Philadelphia, L.A. We got over 100,000, I won't say the word, Mike, 100,000 gangs and you know where. Figure it out. Guys are always throwing me under the bus for talking about what I talk. There's one great call from Los Angeles. His name is Peter. He gets a lot of great information out, and he does give your audience a lot of perspective. That's what I try to do. I give perspective where I'm at.
Tom, can I give you a moment of clarity here? Nobody is throwing you under the bus about talking about immigration because we all acknowledge it is a serious problem. The complaints that we get is it's all you ever talk about and you keep saying the same things over and over and over again. It's a repeating rant and folks are interested in what you have to say as long as you move on to something else. And
I'm
in agreement with you that immigration is a major problem. I look at it more from the point of view of the economic impacts, of course. Again, about this war between the callers, you know, we're getting complaints all over. And Tom, you could set the example by pulling back and not, you know, hurling insults at the other callers.
Mike, listen here, Mike. I want a chance to defend myself like you got that lady. When she won't even tell you her name. Okay, I'm going to defend myself. Like, when I call about that subject, I'd be called because I witness it. I know I can feel what these angel mothers and fathers are going through. But I don't want to go there, Mike. I call your show to be informative about what I see, and I try to analyze it the best to my ability. Now, you got callers. This guy, I have never even heard this guy from North Carolina. I don't know if he's what the other North Carolina, how they or their ideology. But, Mike, I don't try to throw any caller out. I try to be respectful. I'm a respectful person. You have some great callers on your show. I think they're tremendous, okay? But unfortunately, you got some, I don't know if they're trolls. I don't know what these people are. I don't know what their motive. I think I know what their modus operandi is, Mike. But I know what my modus operandi is. I'm very proud to be a northern white European male. And I'm going to defend my Constitution and Bill of Rights the way I see it. And if they don't like it, they can lump it, okay? Now, Mike, I don't call in your show to try to pick a bone with anybody, okay? I just try to be honest. To the best of my ability. Look, Mike, it's to the point now I'm getting upset because I hear a guy like that call for like 20 seconds, blowing me out. What has this guy brought to your show? What has he informed any of your audience, Mike? I haven't heard this guy on your show in 6 months. Who is this guy? And I got to be thrown out because I don't call your show every day, Mike. Let's get that clear.
Nobody's
I'm not like that
talking
one guy
about
throwing
Tom, nobody's talking about throwing you out. We're just trying to give you some guidance to be a better caller, which is to pull back on the vitriol. Understand that we've heard your comments about immigration, and for the most part, we agree with them. It's just we don't want to hear them over and over again every single day.
Mike that's yeah. fine. Okay, that's fine. Look, I'll talk. You know what? We should turn your show into Art Bell. Let's go. Let's talk about aliens for a whole month. How's that? We'll talk about the flying saucer was over the jet the other day, and the pilots were, you know, there's someone flying above me, looked like a cigar shape. We'll talk about that for a month. Why not? Let's get off immigration and the economy and the capital. Let's talk about UFOs. They could be taken over. And you know what? If they came down here to get rid of my taxes, I'd join them. If they were to come down down to Earth and they were to get rid of all my problems, you know what? I'll become an alien. How's that? I'll become a UFO.
If a starship pulled up here, I'd probably put out the thumb and say, let's go. But I think what that pilot saw the other day was a military test. They're doing a lot of testing up there. We had that story yesterday where two F-117 Nighthawks were photographed flying over Los Angeles, even though officially they are retired. So there's probably a lot of stuff up there being tested right now. And what's really interesting is Hollywood will push UFOs and aliens and flying saucers at the same time these tests are going on, so that when people accidentally spot one of these black project aircraft development programs, they'll just jump to the conclusion it's an alien spaceship, and nobody will then listen to them when they say, I saw this weird thing traveling really fast.
Well, Mike, let's talk about this. We're a whole month. You know what? Get off everything. Let's talk about science fiction stuff. No, matter of fact, let's talk about Tesla, what he did, awesome stuff he did. Let's talk about this guy here in Florida here that built the Coral Castle. Let's talk. What did he have? He had a little box, and he's picking up 15-ton boulders. How is this guy doing that? He had to use a lot of sound waves. How is a guy that only weighed 88 pounds picking up 13-ton boulders and setting them and making a castle out of them? And he made rocking chairs out of five-ton coral, and he made them into rocking chairs.
I saw a documentary about that, and never got a documentary, but in the Hollywood Hills, there's another home just like that. That is all, rock and mortar, and it's a beautiful garden, and it hasn't received the attention I think it deserves. But
it's a small place. It's a small place. I'll take you there if you ever come down. I'll take you over there. It's a small place, but it is an amazing place. And
the way he
built that was incredible. But accordingly, the guy built it with a little box. The box was like only 2 foot by 2 foot, okay, in a square. So he built this amazing castle using a box and levitating these giant boulders, coral boulders.
Well,
now,
I don't
know
about
that
part
of it. I'm all with it. Well, I know all about it because Mike, I've been there hundreds of times. I can tell you all about the theory behind it. It had to be like magnetic sound wave or like you had a pruning fork or something. It's just amazing. Now, the thing, if you want to talk about that too, is amazing during that time, Mike. If they were to put this guy, Edward Lee Scallion, with Nikola Tesla in the same room, they'd have had like we had to see. If they were to put those two guys in the same room, even if throw in Thomas Edison or whatever great inventors were at the time.
Well, that would not have been a good move because, Edison screwed Tesla over.
Yeah,
so did George
Westinghouse. Sure did.
Yeah,
they stabbed him in the back. And Tesla, what I'm saying is, basically, let's put Tesla and Edward Lee Scallion in a room together.
Marconi screwed over Tesla.
Yes, he did. That's right. He did. The radio wave. Scallion was a very humble man. He was a very skinny little man, but he had the technology between him and Tesla would have been universal shattering. Let's put it that way. It would have been massively shattering of the two brains together if they could have. And actually, they lived at the same time. Now, that's the saddest thing, I think, in science, that Tesla and Edward Lee Scallion were not put together in the same room to compare technologies and ideologies and stuff. So That would have been the, probably the world's greatest.
Well, you
greatest,
know, Tesla went where people were willing to give him money to do his work here, but then he wound up getting shorted on the back end. Anyway, Tom, listen, we're running out of time, and I got a bunch of other callers waiting to go on there, so thank you very much. We're going to let you go and switch over to Paul in New Jersey. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Michael, you might be familiar with the saying that apathy is the last virtue of a dying society.
Yes, I have heard that.
Yeah, and for those who are indifferent to, maintaining their racial stock, you know, the actual genetic stock of the founders of a nation, and are against eugenics and are for mixed race marriages, I would argue those are the views of a nation in decline. And so those views, although they've been promulgated in the media and sanctified in law, that doesn't mean our nation will continue or be the pinnacle of nations for longer. If anything, we're soon to become a third world nation, and I think that's pretty
evident. I would agree with that. In fact, I look at the decadence we are seeing within our government, within our society, and it seems to have an historical precedent with ancient Rome just before they fell apart. I do look at all this this craziness here, you know, transgender for children and everything. That's, to me, not a symptom of a healthy society.
Exactly. And the adoption of those views, I would argue that first came interracial marriage in 1960. And then a while later came the next normalization of degeneracy, like having lots of children out of wedlock, right? And then later on becomes homosexual marriage. Before you know it, in the current era, it's, mass transvestitism going on the promotion of, mutilating genitals of children. And so these are the, because people are apathetic. Nobody wants to stand up and say, like I will, at least, I'm for eugenics. Right. And I've argued this before. And by the way, for the anti-eugenicists out there, I urge them to volunteer their time working with the deformed and the handicapped. You know, you can go down and volunteer and actually work with them and donate your free time. If you actually care for the deformed and the handicapped you want to bring into the world, instead of just presenting like you're Mr. Do-Gooder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, but, you know, not all the deformed and handicapped are the result of breeding. I mean, look at the thalidomide disaster. That produced a generation of children needing all kinds of care, and that had absolutely nothing to do with the race of the parents.
True. But let me say this, though, about eugenics. Now, listen, in 450 B.C., the Romans codified in their law, it's called the Laws of the Twelve Tables, that basically you are to euthanize deformed infants. You're not supposed to tolerate them. And notice, that's at the ascent of Rome, and Rome lasted for 1,200 years. Notice that?
Yes.
Also, nations like Norway and Iceland abort their Down syndrome babies. They say in Iceland, you will not find any Down syndrome people whatsoever. They've all been aborted. And notice, God has yet to punish them for doing so. Notice those nations are doing fine.
Well, I'm not sure how this fits in with the overall concept of eugenics, which is selective breeding to improve the race here. And by the way, in ancient Hawaii, before the missionaries showed up, malformed babies were thrown in the ocean. So it's one of the reasons why, prior to the missionaries, the Hawaiians had the cleanest gene pool of pretty much any people on planet Earth.
Okay, now listen. Norway, like I said, practices eugenics through abortion. And guess what?
Okay.
In the Winter Olympics, when it was held in Norway, right, here they are, a country of 4 million people, and they won more medals than any other nation on Earth, more medals for Norway than the United States, Canada, or Russia. That tells you
that was probably the Winter Olympics, right?
Through their eugenics practices, they bred a healthy, strong people. And so it's led to results. And by the way, we could also say the nations that practice eugenics, the Scandinavian nations, and China, mm-hmm. because as we know, China has a large abortion rate, and China,
yes, they do.
Likewise, is in the ascent. They're in the ascent. And so this
well,
is where
they're
I
balancing their population against the economic need, something that has gone tremendously out of balance in this country, especially with the open border immigration.
Well, that's another factor. Right, and that's because we're apathetic about protecting our society. Right, and that's why we're in decline.
Well, we're in decline for a lot of reasons. That's one of them. I think we've got decades of poor government. Because the wrong kind of people seek high office. We have had decades of outsourcing our technology and jobs to other countries. And it really is a classic case of politics really destroying the country that is its host.
Okay? I would also propound that it's also because of diversity itself. That there's no unifying ethnic identity, and because of that, it's everyone out for themselves, and so there's nothing unifying us except for the bizarre concept of the Constitution, that, you know, the concept nation. And a lot of people who adhere to this concept nation are the same people who advocate dysgenics, race mixing, and other, what I would say, destructive methods of destroying the racial stock of the nation. And this is what's happening. And I'm just going to finish up and let other callers by just saying, I just urge people to watch the Jolly Heretic, Dr. Edward Dutton, over at YouTube. And he has very interesting concepts on the decay of the United Kingdom and what he calls mutational load and spiteful mutants. And I look, urge your audience to look him up on YouTube, Dr. Edward Dunn. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to break our normal one caller per day rule. Layla in Canada has called back in and apparently has a clarification. So, Layla, what's on your mind?
Yes, this is a comment for Tom. Tom, I don't know why you think that I was criticizing you. Perhaps I expressed myself badly in the conversation where you think I did that. I was actually saying that you were correct, except you had not taken it further and drawn attention to the consequences of what immigration will bring. If you have listened to any of my previous calls with regard to immigration, I have called those illegal migrants thieves. Because they want the freebies, the safety net that was built by the Americans who sacrificed their lives, suffered immensely to build the country and to provide the safety networks for those who are entitled to benefit from it. And they are coming here to steal it. So what I was saying is that if the black men marry the white women, what happens to the white men? I didn't suggest that that was today, that white men today were wimps or anything else. On the contrary, I was supporting all of your contentions, or your one primary contention, that immigration is bad for this country. It is, you are correct. It is very bad
yes.
for any country, and all countries
yes.
that want to survive always have an immigrant or a border protection system. I know that because Palestine had no government, it had no national military, it had no rules with regard to immigration, so illegal migrants, Jews coming over from Europe, were able to take over, smuggle in the illegal arms from Czechoslovakia until they had the opportunity to kill the defenseless civilians and take over the land. So,
all right. Well,
I apologize to you
Layla,
if I said something.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your apologizing and pulling back. And maybe it's the start of a trend where the callers respect each other a little bit more. I am going to have to let you go, though, because we're almost out of time and we got phone calls, lines full of phone calls. So let's go to Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You're talking to Glenn or are you talking to Kelly?
Oh, I guess I'm talking to Kelly. My mistake. Kelly in Austin, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things. I think a lot of your callers need to ignore what they think are personal attacks. It really gets old. I'm tired of hearing this give and take.
I'm getting a lot of emails saying that, you know, it's almost enough to make them turn the show off.
Right. I want to say, Paul from New Jersey, excellent call. Excellent, excellent call. I agree with everything you said there. I watched all Wars and Bankers Wars again recently. Outstanding YouTube presentation here. Now, what I want to tell you, the reason I call you was earlier in the program, you mentioned something about automation and employment. Back in 1950, Kurt Vonnegut Jr. published a novel called Player Piano. And in that novel, that novel addresses the issue of complete automation of the economy after a Third World War and the effect that has on the dignity of the human worker.
Agreed.
And I suggest that people who are interested in this matter find that novel and read it. It is his first novel, and it's an outstanding novel because really he delves into this into this issue on a level that only Vonnegut could do. I think that it's a novel that really needs to be read, especially now since we find that many jobs are going to be taken over by automation. That's all I have to say, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mitchell in Memphis. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. What's going on? You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You're on the air.
I don't really have time to lay it out. I will say this. I waited a long time listening to, sounds like, school kids fighting. But
yes,
at any rate.
It does, doesn't it?
One of your, I'll just go ahead and say this. Peter, I think from Los Angeles, I think maybe has come the closest with an observation of what's going on in this country. When you talk about all of these bad people, whether he talks about the Zionists are doing this, or if you talk about the military-industrial complex, the bureaucrats, academia, the banking cartel, the anti-white agenda, all of these bad groups. What I would like for Peter to focus on is, we know, okay, it's, they're doing these things. How are they carrying out these actions? These bad people are carrying out these actions by using government.
If
they don't have the government power, they can't carry out these actions. And nobody's talking about this. You know, we've come a long way in this society. If I were to read, I'm even scared to, but let's go to the Declaration of Independence, one of the founding documents, and it says in there, talking about it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such a government and provide new guards for future security. What I just said on the radio could possibly get me a prison sentence. Someone could say that I just said something seditious.
Yeah, they could.
We're getting to a point where we can't even read the founding documents.
We're in. We don't have the First Amendment anymore. All right, well, Mitchell, I hate to do this to you, but the music is playing, and that means the show is over, and I apologize deeply to all the callers waiting on hold who did not get on the air. All I can say is please call in early tomorrow, and we'll let you all get your turn, and we are going to try and slap down on some of the school child behavior from some of the callers because, you know, people are actually calling the office at RBN saying that they're tired of hearing the bickering and the name-calling, and so we've got to really tone it down. I'm going to get myself a fire hose and start spraying these collars and cool them down. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate to RBN. They've got a huge electric bill coming, and we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
To bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state, From across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.